This week, American authorities confirmed that Al-Qaeda leader Khalid Sheikh Mohammed did personally kill the Wall Street Journal reporter Danny Pearl about a year and a half ago. The authorities wouldn't say how they learned that for sure. Mr. Mohammed's been in custody in an undisclosed location since March. He's apparently giving lots of useful information to the U.S. about Al-Qaeda. What is making him talk? Earlier, I spoke with Day Today's Madeline Brand about the supposition that the U.S. may be using torture now as part of its fight against terrorism. Hi, Madeline. I gather there's a conference there in New York about this subject today.
That's right. It takes place today, and it involves many of the people who have begun discussing this issue of torture, this very controversial issue of torture, in public.
I'm sure that Mr. Mohammed's not being treated to a stay at the Ritz wherever he is in custody. But President Bush, as high a figure as President Bush, has been emphatic recently in denying that the U.S. is engaging in torture of any kind.
Yes, that's right. He said the U.S. is abiding by the U.N. Convention Against Torture. And that defines torture in part as causing, quote, severe pain or suffering, physical or mental, to obtain information. Now, Alex, note the vagueness of that definition. How do you define severe? How do you define torture, even? Press accounts recently have quoted unnamed sources as saying what's used now are called aggressive interrogation methods. And that would include sleep deprivation, withholding food, making the cell very hot or very cold, and perhaps giving the prisoner drugs like speed to make him talk. Torture? Well, University of Texas law professor Sanford Levinson says people define torture as those methods that they're not using. And he thinks it's highly unlikely that American interrogators are strictly adhering to the UN Convention. He says the rest of us are taking a don't ask, don't tell approach to what's going on.
We, the people, should take responsibility for what's being done in our name. But it is our political leaders who are just racing the other way. They don't want to talk about it, or they simply engage in what I regret to say are lies.
Now, Levinson says he wants the government to come clean and for there to be some transparency. And fellow law professor Alan Dershowitz of Harvard has stirred up some controversy by going even further. Dershowitz has proposed something called torture warrants.
My point is that if we're going to use it, and I don't approve of that, but if we're going to use it, I want to see it brought within the rule of law. So I think the least worst solution is to have a requirement that if you're going to impose any physical pressure on anybody, whether it be twisting his arm or putting a needle underneath his thumbnail, you darn well better have a justification for it that will satisfy either a judge or a high-ranking executive official, and there ought to be criteria, and there ought to be limits. So that's where my idea for a torture warrant comes from.
But don't you leave yourself open to the criticism that once you make a practice like that regular, then people are open to use it more and more frequently, and it becomes normalized in a certain sense?
Well, I want to reduce the frequency of its use. I think if we don't know how often it's used, if there's no accountability, we just don't know.
Now, Alex, the human rights activists and those who work with torture victims, they think Dershowitz is nuts.
I fear it's easier to torture than we think.
Alan Keller runs a program for survivors of torture at Bellevue Hospital in New York.
Torture is not something that you can kind of neatly control or compartmentalize and say, okay, we'll only do it under these circumstances. I think that's a misguided illusion that ultimately will result in what arguably is already a worldwide epidemic of torture being dramatically worsened.
But Dershowitz and others present an emotionally compelling argument, the so-called ticking bomb scenario. What if you have a prisoner who has information that could prevent another 9/11 and he won't talk? What do you do? Well, if you're Bill Cowan, a retired Marine Corps officer who spent nearly 4 years in Vietnam, you do whatever's necessary.
The worst thing we did was put alligator clips on them and run a little bit of electrical current through them. And as soon as they felt that little bit of current and then thought you were going to do a lot more and crank the power up, they started talking. They broke down very quickly. I think at the end of the day, the issue is if we have an incident happen in the United States, hundreds if not thousands of lives are lost, and we realize after it happens that we indeed are holding on to somebody who knew exactly how it was going to go down, the American public would be outraged. Much more outraged than they would be to find out we had twisted a little bit of electricity into somebody to get him to talk.
But the problem, Alex, is that no one knows how effective torture is. Some prisoners will say anything to make the torture stop. Others are so committed to the cause they won't talk no matter what. And in Israel, investigators who use torture techniques say they did prevent some ticking bomb scenarios. But the Israeli Supreme Court has recently outlawed the use of torture there. And it's interesting that 2 years ago, before September 11th, no one here was seriously considering whether the U.S. should use torture. Everyone assumed it was completely off limits. Now that conversation is occurring more often. And as you mentioned, the latest conversation about that today at John Jay College in Manhattan, where people from all sides will debate its use.
Thanks, Madeline. Thanks for that report.
You're welcome, Alex.